Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
I've been walking with no shoes, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betfair. Huge wins for West Ham and Everton as the Premier League plot thickens. It's Friday, 8th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome, everybody. It's Friday, and it's good to see you three chaps again.
Woo! Great to see you too. The amount of words you're able to fit in that intro there, you're turning into snow. Yeah. I'm in former fame. I think it's going to get to that stage at one point.
I was going to say Twister, actually.
Twister. Fast and rapid.
No. Scatman John.
to date, the finest set of compliments I've ever received.
Yeah.
Both, I think Scatman John and Snow are from Canada.
Snow is definitely from Canada.
One's dead.
Yeah. Scatman died not that long ago. Yeah.
I think Twister's from Tunbridge Wells.
I wasn't addressing your point, Andy, but that's fine. I tell you what, it is Friday, and what a Friday it is. We are fresh from seeing the Charlatans, of course.
Mm-hmm.
God bless them. We had a lovely time there.
We did.
And
what do they do for their final song? Because I
Frost and Green always, right. Always the same.
Which song's that?
Oh, which, come on, tell him.
Just
later.
Sing the chorus to me.
There isn't really a chorus.
You've got a lovely singing voice.
It's a wig out.
It's a wig out. A lot of wigging out in that band, isn't there?
So the great thing about Sprost and Green is that it means Tim Burgess can leave the stage about 5 minutes before the gig finishes because there's no more singing. Yeah. So he just walks off and the rest of the band wig out for a bit.
Right,
he's probably in the coach.
He's probably drinking a glass of wine.
He's making the rest of the band a cup of tea so when they come off it's ready for them.
Very nice.
I'm writing an article for Guardian.
Something you should do more of.
Well, I'm the last one to leave the stage by popular demand.
I'm the last one to make a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust him with a hot drink, though. You don't want it. You don't want one.
He doesn't know his way around one.
Yeah.
Total bollocks. I was a runner for a long time, and that's where you learn.
That's where you met Jeff Shreves.
Don't run with it.
That's where you first met Jeff Shreves.
Where, mate?
It is.
I was in the same room as him on Monday night.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the awards.
There was a lot of other people. We spoke about it on Ramble Uncut.
Okay, all right,
that's for the patrons.
Spoiler: we didn't win anything.
No, we weren't even nominated this year.
A difficult win from that position, really, isn't it?
Yeah. But as I said to the people on
Newcastle Ramble, won a league un.
As I said to the good people on Ramble Uncut, I was sat next to Henry Winter and had a very, very lovely time with him.
Can I just say? But then we've got to move on.
I really wanted to say that in Luke's presence.
Yeah, and that's fine. I said it at the time on WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I said it. I'll say it again now for our listeners. You sat next to Henry Winter.
Talking about England and Sven.
Yeah, on a table.
Can you think of anything more marvellous than that?
And I love you.
Yeah, right? thanks.
I don't like Henry Winter, but it sounds like the worst conversation of all time.
When you said, and I love you, it sounds like you've done something really bad to me. You know, you're only doing it because
you love
me.
And I did it because I love you, yeah. I just can't imagine sitting for longer than 20 seconds listening to you speak to Henry Winter.
Wow.
I think even Marcus understands that.
And that's why you're not invited.
Yeah, fine.
But he's genuinely a lovely man, and I will die on that hill.
Yeah.
Being killed by Luke Moore.
Rest in peace.
Right, gentlemen. Spurs 1, West Ham United 2. Played well, though, Spurs, didn't they?
Yeah. They played well. I'm just loving that chat.
Lovely stadium.
Yeah.
Great football.
Yeah.
Nil pois.
Yeah,
very few injuries nowadays. They all of the players came back, and they're losing at home to West Ham.
I loved it when I think the commentator.
All of their players came back.
I'm saying they don't have the injury crisis they had a few weeks ago.
They're losing basically all their key players.
Yeah, he's just coming back.
He's just warming up before we talk about Newcastle.
Yeah, right. Madison's out. Van der Ven's out.
Fine, but look, all
they
the
couldn't
other
play Pape Sarr. There was loads of players out injured.
Gaza still out.
And that's been part of it.
You know, exactly. Yeah. They've lost a lot of players. And they're not winning, Andy Brassel. They are not winning. Ange himself said after the match, us being good means us being 3-0 up at half time. It's not just about playing well. 1-0 up at half time was not a good performance for
us. So he was fine to humour good performance without results a couple of weeks ago, but now it's getting a bit annoying, especially in a manner like this. Because if you think both of those West Ham goals are Spurs pratfalls that you think like, couldn't really happen again, weren't they?
Are you turning on Ange, Andy?
Am I turning on Ange?
Yeah. No. Okay.
Ask me.
I interviewed him once and he was wearing the sort of jumper like my dad used to wear to the pub, and I found it quite comfortable.
That's nice. I like that people like him personally, and I'm very interested to see how long Spurs fans will remember that.
Yeah. A very short period of time, you'd imagine.
Yeah, because it was always, oh yeah, it's great. It's great to have him at the club. You know, he's not like, to be fair, Conte and Mourinho were both in places disgraceful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Ange seems like a good dude, and that's a good thing. We need more of those kind of people in football, because you know, a lot of the time managers either seem like complete weirdos or dickheads, and Ange doesn't seem like either of those. That's good. But at the same time, you know, that this is becoming a bit of a habit now. Mm-hmm. I disagree with Pete. They've lost a lot of players. They'll have 9 first team players out for the game against Newcastle. Admittedly, Newcastle, I think, will have 13 players out because that's how football is these days.
Yep.
In theory, you get great football and lots of it, but in reality, a lot of time top players now just can't play.
It'll be like a next gen game. You remember those ones?
It will be a bit like that.
Get the youngins out there, yeah.
So that's a factor. But I said this at the start of the season, and I still think it now. With the terms of a first 11, the way Ange Postecoglou wants to play, Spurs are a match for anyone. Like, they really are. But it becomes very threadbare very quickly as soon as you lose some players.
That's not something that can be laid on him, is it? And I think people are smart enough to realise that. Spurs fans are smart enough to realise
I'm not trying to lay that at him. I'm just trying to give a realistic picture of where they are at the moment.
Sure.
And it was interesting, wasn't it, ahead of the game last night. Obviously, people were being briefed and journalists were reporting that there's 3 or 4 areas they want to strengthen in as soon as possible in January. Mm-hmm. And I can see why, to be perfectly honest.
I mean, look, the reality is they've lost 4 in their last 5 and haven't won in that time. They're 3 points behind Manchester City.
Yeah.
Now, I know Manchester City.
Yeah, we're Man City. That's surely not a marker this season at this point.
But they are the champions, though. I mean, look, I understand your point that Arsenal are 9 points ahead of Spurs, but I don't think realistically we were thinking too much of the title at Tottenham. Yeah. I think they would very much have been very pleased with
some people were.
You could argue that the incredible opening start to the season has made a bit of a Rob for his own back. Really. Yeah,
yeah. I think if you were to offer them a Champions League spot, they would take that. And the point is,
would be an enormous success.
It would be an enormous
success.
They'd
probably take a few wins at home as well. a few of those as well.
Yeah, I think you'd need them if you wanted the Champions League spot. But they are just 3 points off it, having had a very poor run of form in the league. So it goes to show how good it has been up until that point. But, you know, they played well in the first half. They should have been up. You know, David Moyes said, you know, they were lucky. He said at half-time it was 1-0. He said, oh, thank goodness for that kind of thing. You know, we've got away with that. And then, of course, in the second half as it played out. I found it funny that the commentator at full-time went, oh, masterclass from David Moyes of West Ham. And then as you saw some of the comments after the game, Moyes was like, yeah, we're a bit lucky, to be honest.
Yeah.
But West Ham, it's a fantastic win for them. Yes, they rode their luck. I mean, Richarlison had a good chance, to, you know, when he came on.
Well, the header.
Yeah.
Nice ball in from Porro, wasn't it?
Lovely ball in from Porro, but they didn't take him. And as Postecoglou, I think, is trying to get the message across, is it's all very well playing nice football, but if there's no end result, you know, the journey is important, but so is the destination.
Yeah, he said, didn't he? He said, you know, we're too passive. We don't assert ourselves enough, and I don't want to hear about this kind of nice football stuff.
Well, and he felt his team, they were 1-0 up. Oh, well, the result will take care of itself, was what the words
it's
he
a big
he
derby
used.
Game as well. You know, you can't really afford to do that. West Ham are well versed in having hardly any of the ball, but the ball they have, they make count. Mm. You know, 25% possession is, you know, not massively impressive, but ultimately it's what you do with the ball. And away from home against a team like Spurs, they clearly had a plan. The plan worked. Yeah, look, there was a definitely an element of fortune around the fact that Spurs didn't go into the break a lot further ahead, but also an element of fortune in the goal that Ward-Prowse scored off the Adobe.
Well, you could even say Bowen, the way it was a sort of ricochet.
Yeah, it was. They were both really fortunate. Like, those two goals could not happen again if they tried. I think the West Ham thing's really interesting, isn't it? Because if you look at them, if you look at the numbers, defensively, the numbers have been really quite poor all season. The underlying numbers. And again, I think you saw that with Richarlison missing a chance that he would have to try to miss again, almost.
Yeah.
So I just wonder, that it feels to me that West Ham are operating at the absolute ceiling of where they can, points-wise, at the moment. Okay, it's a great win, but you would still back Spurs in the long term, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think if Spurs can get their players back to a kind of really meaningful level, and this is a couple of big ifs here, strengthening in January, that when it gets down the stretch, they haven't got Europe. Mm-hmm. So that could play into their hands a wee bit.
Agreed. And for them, strengthening is something they won't just do in January. They'll do it over the next two or three transfer windows, because what Postecoglou inherited is a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And what he's done, what he's done so far in just changing the atmosphere around Spurs. I mean, this is an annoyance, but it's not something that's derailing them, is it?
No.
But I would also add on the West Ham side, you know, deviate slightly from Andy. I haven't seen the numbers he talks about. I'm sure he's right. Andy is a numbers bod more than me, so I'll defer to him on that. They seem to have like a pretty solid way of playing defensively, and then they've got X-factor players who can do stuff going forward. I mean, like a front three, you know, I think it was Kudus who played through the middle last night, Bowen and Pakatar. Mm-hmm. They're missing Antonio, arguably their most important forward player, and they're still able to do this. Ward-Prowse can pop up and he can do things that other players can't do. So
yeah, sure.
It's a lot of things to be positive.
They should cement their place in the top half of the Premier League table. Bearing in mind, they've got European football as well. Mm. And considering, you know, for the first half or whatever it was of last season, it was a slight worry. It was probably only
more than the first half, Marcus. Yeah. I think the thing is, because of the excitement, the understandable excitement over the Conference League, you could forget that if you just take the players they've got and the league campaign, Moyes is lucky to keep his job off the back of that. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. So they needed to improve big time in the league and find that balance between performing in Europe, which obviously they're going to, because they're much better than other teams in the group stage.
You like to suck the romance out of West Ham's European campaigns, don't you?
Do I?
Yeah.
I think he likes to suck the romance out of everything.
Yeah.
At least that's what his wife told me.
I know. And I know, Peter, you think it's not possible to suck romance out of something.
No. You can blow it into it.
Yeah.
do you want to show us on the teddy bear
on
now?
On the teddy bear, yeah.
But one thing they do have, West Ham, Peter, they have is Jared Bowen.
They do have Jared Bowen.
And did you enjoy Les Ferdinand quizzing him about playing as a number nine after the game?
I mean,
Pete enjoys anything Les Ferdinand does.
Exactly,
I mean, it's very difficult to imagine.
He could suck or blow anything into out of me.
Les Ferdinand could perform an armed robbery on Pete's corner shop. and Pete Steele would defend him.
I'd give him all the crisps.
Yeah, you run, you run after him.
Would you like a box of crisps for the journey? That robbery probably took it out of you. You're probably a bit hungry.
Yeah. So, Les, you forgot the skips.
Yeah. How do we know?
He's not a skips man. He's a rustlers or something.
How do we know? Rustlers. Rustlers is
a burger.
Yeah, nah, he's had
you meant roysters.
Roysters.
That's what you meant.
How do you know it's Rez Ferdinand robbed your shop? He's got loads of mouth ulcers.
He doesn't look like the sort of man who microwave a burger, does he?
No.
Or eat really crisps, to be fair.
Or eat anything.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing to Les?
But Les talking to Jared about the idea of how you you play effectively as a number nine and the rest of it. It's good stuff. It's great content, actually.
You've just got to hang in the air for ages and then the ball eventually comes to you and just nod it in the back of the
net.
Exactly.
Get yourself up about a week early
and
stay there for a bit.
Uh-huh.
Like a salmon in mating season.
Oh, he's like David Blaine hanging in the air, wasn't he?
Like a man with a helicopter.
Oh,
yeah, how you talking?
Absolutely right. But a great win for West Ham, who of course face free scoring Fulham on Sunday.
Oh, more on that later.
Newcastle are off to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in the injury derby, which will be an interesting one. Newcastle, of course, then have a match against Milan in the Champions League on Wednesday the 13th of December. So a busy time for them. And is that why they phoned in the performance against Everton, Peter? 3-0.
I mean, it was very much nil-nil until quite late on, which was rather upsetting.
So
I think with,
give him a point.
So I think I think with Newcastle, you've just at this moment in time, just they may have a pretty decent 11, but just wait them out because Kieran Trippier is going to make two mistakes inexplicably.
You need your wisest and most experienced players to step up in these moments.
But you know, someone was saying to me at the weekend at the Newcastle Man United game. Like, in any normal situation, Trippier would be having a rest at the moment. And that's what they bought Livramento for. You know, this was the moment, I guess, where he and Newcastle's current 11, which, you know, you don't need to wonder who they're going to play against Spurs at the weekend and who they're going to play against Milan next week. It will be the same 11. It was the bit where Trippier and the entire team was like, as Pete was saying, just, we can't anymore.
We can't do much more.
And so, can I make a slightly different, like potentially a bit of a spicy take on this? Ooh. Is that I think the two errors that Trippier undoubtedly made, which were less than ideal, and obviously you don't want a player, particularly of his experience, to be doing that, I still think there was quite a lot for the Everton players to do.
Dwight McNeil finished it with aplomb.
They were quite far up the pitch.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a back pass error or get caught in position on the edge of your own box type
error. It's just so out of character for Trippier, though, isn't it?
It is, but I still think that actually, maybe because as you guys were alluding to, the Newcastle players just all red zoned at the moment because they're so tired and they couldn't do anything about it. It felt a bit to me like, if I was Trippier, fine, I've made a mistake, but you guys could have dug in there and sat in and helped.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't there? There's not the freshness.
Yeah, well, I mean, they found a bit of energy, Andy, when Jordan Pickford was celebrating after the game. Suddenly the energy levels were topped up then, weren't they?
Guimaraes was absolutely fuming.
They're all about the energy then.
Jordan Pickford does do that, doesn't he?
And the Piff Posse, I'll tell you who'd have been fuming about that, the Piff Posse, you know why?
Because
the sponsor got ripped off of Bruno Guimaraes' shirt.
Right.
So all the photos today don't show the sponsorship.
Got it.
Well, presumably he's got it tattooed underneath.
Poor optics. Yeah, lift your shirt up and show your tattoo.
There you go. You didn't score, though. So
he didn't.
You couldn't do that.
Emil Kraft got a couple of minutes at centre-back.
Love that.
He would have went, I can't wait to kick a football again. Centre-back.
Yeah.
But that's the sort of thing you would do. Like, if you were Harry Redknapp / Thomas Tuchel /
anyone who's trying to make a point about the lack of...
That's what you'd do like a couple of days before the transfer window, isn't it? Yeah.
You put three keepers on the bench.
Yeah.
Would he be
pointing up at the scoreboard, you know, with Amazon doing that substitutes thing? Still got, look, they're all still there.
All there.
I haven't used one, have I?
Why did Eddie Howe only use two subs then if the players are so tired? Because the others are so bad?
Because he doesn't trust.
Who have we got on the bench? We've got two goalkeepers. We've got Paul Dummett, Matt Ritchie. Matt Ritchie's always going to get his game. Yeah. Matt Ritchie's always going to come
on. I actually saw in the lineup. I thought about that point earlier. I was like, he's got Jacob Murphy on the bench. Why don't they bring him on? It's not. It's a bloke called Murphy I've never heard of.
No,
he's like 19. Got, plays at the back.
Alex Murphy.
Just look at the
squad numbers, don't you? 29, Mark Gillespie, third keeper. Amadou Diallo, 49, 54 and 63. It's not what you want to
Phil
see.
Phil Foden wears number 47. Would you like
it
him
does.
In the team?
Yes, I would.
Marcus, ask him that. You should be asking the most tough questions.
Why would I bother? I think that with Newcastle, I was surprised actually that he didn't play one or two newer faces in this game. Now, I understand Everton have won the match 3-0, but unless there's a huge upturn in fortune with regards to injured players coming back, Spurs away, is a tougher fixture on paper. And then Milan. And the Milan game is
massive.
Is huge.
Massive, yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe
and you could argue Spurs are a direct competitor.
Exactly, yeah. I understand Everton have beat them 3-0 and Everton missed a lot of chances. So, again, that's not a slight on Everton. But just, you know, I don't think it's a foolish point to make that on paper away to Spurs is harder than
no,
it
is in
Park. So, but he didn't do it and they were punished.
And credit to Everton, by the way.
Very much so.
Since they've had this punishment, which, you know, is really, by and large, nothing really to do with the players. It's soul destroying. I mean, if they hadn't had that 10-point deduction, they'd be above Chelsea in the table. They'd be doing really well.
Having said that, you look at
is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you look at the team they've got. You look at their home form. They're never going to be smack bang it. If you're going to lose 10 points, this is the season to do it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I know, like obviously, that Everton fans won't see it that way. But in terms of staying out of relegation trouble, whilst I don't know anyone who thought when they got deducted those points, oh, they're in big trouble now. Mm. It's like a sentence on their season that they're.
Yeah, but I do agree with that. But it is a huge point to stay.
And it's also quite easy to say that in the rearview mirror now. Like they only escaped relegation by 2 points last season. There's absolutely
better
no guarantees.
But
they are better now. But yeah. that's empirically true because they've had 12 or whatever games and they've shown that.
But they've got a better squad now. They've got a better manager.
Spent loads of money.
From the start of the season, and there are three teams in there who you think, yeah, all right.
When you say this is the season to do it, before people start thinking, all right, like, just spend. It won't count for this season. Okay, so don't be fooled by that.
Yeah. Do it every season, but just make sure you buy decent players for that amount of money.
Nothing bad can come of spending loads of money.
No.
As
a Portsmouth fan knows.
Is that what John says?
But it's nice to see Martin Dubravka get a little run out. He looked a bit shaky as well at times, didn't he?
I don't know. He's always been pretty solid, but I mean, they were pretty much point blank sort of smashes past
I don't think
they?
For the goal, but I think there were one or two handling issues throughout the game from what I saw.
A bit rusty.
Yeah, a little bit rusty.
Yeah, Sean Dyche.
He'll get his time, though, because he pops up forever.
Yeah, but the kind of rustiness that makes you think, oh, is that David De Gea in the stand?
Are we back to Karius in the Cups, though?
Ooh, yeah,
is
maybe.
That what that means?
Yeah.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
That would be.
He's the man for the Milan game.
Oh, big time.
He is.
Yeah.
Getting back in the Champions League.
He's bigger physically. He's just more muscular.
Very sexy as well.
Sexy.
Speaking of sexy, Sean Dyche said in the post-match, this season, apart from the obvious with the 10 points, I think we've been in terrific form. Might be slightly generous to say this season, but as Luke was saying, Andy, Everton have been in great form recently. Should have been, you know, a couple of goals. I mean, I understand one might say, oh, well, Trippier's errors and da-da-da-da. You know, Everton should have got a few goals to go. Calvert-Lewin missed a great chance.
Yeah, but Anthony Gordon missed a great one at 0-0 as well. So.
Yeah, but I think Everton were good value for the win.
I don't reckon it's a 3-0 kind of game. I think what's interesting is they could have done with spreading the goals out a bit, because what Dyche is saying about they've played really well all season, I think if you go back to those early games of the season, you look at the Fulham game at Goodison Park, really.
Well, they had a lot of chances.
They battered them and they ended up losing 1-0.
It's the opening day, though. I mean, the opening day is a bit of an anomaly, really.
I think Everton have improved.
The whole opening part of the season, they're playing well at home, but they can't put it in the back of the net and they can't get the results, and they've just become unblocked, really. That's what's happened.
And indeed, and so a 3-0 victory like that is absolutely just the tonic for them. And Goodison, specifically.
And they'll sniff a bit of blood on Sunday because they play Chelsea at home. That's a big opportunity for them.
They shall do. Another round of Premier League fixtures presented to us by Amazon Prime comes to an end.
Yeah, you sound like we'll be a sponsor. They're not paying us fuck all for you, son.
No, they're not.
although Stats by X-ray.
There is another round coming, though, I believe.
Yes, there will be. Amazon haven't optioned anything for the next round, have they? 2025 to 2029, they've got nothing.
No, that's it.
They've decided to keep their powder dry.
Yeah, Jurgen Klopp's only ever mean on there. So.
Well, I was about to say, I mean, will Klopp be... Will he be
He's a Netflix
that?
Man. So you've got Stranger Things, get fucked.
He's HBO man, surely.
Yeah,
angry.
He was particularly antsy. We know he can be a bit of a sore loser. And even though they didn't lose the game, of course, Sheffield United. But he was a bit prickly, wasn't he? Was it Marcus Buckland, the presenter?
Yes. Yeah. It was a bit child on a late night. You know,
I felt quite protective of a fellow Marcus.
Yeah.
Klopp, it's nice to have Marcus in there. Shut up.
It's like that idea, if you've had like an extra game during the week, everyone's a bit more tired. Everyone's a bit more unreasonable. Mm. So it could be like Kieran Trippier completely losing his compass, or it could be Yeah. Klopp completely losing his shit for really no reason.
The thing is...
You were a bit harsher to him on the WhatsApp group, Andy.
Yeah. Allow me. No, I'm only joking. My take on this is just a bit that Klopp can be like this. He's very prickly at best sometimes. Mm-hmm. He does feel... I think it's part of a symptom of how close he feels to his players.
Yep.
He's very avuncular to his players. He sees his players going through it and really dedicating themselves. He actually did speak a bit about that in the thing that got lost in all the noise of the kind of the way he behaved, which wasn't ideal. Mm. So I do understand that, but it didn't look great for essentially someone who's a custodian at a club the size of Liverpool. But I would say, at the risk of criticising a fellow broadcaster, I thought it was a stupid question.
It was more of a comment than a question.
He phrased it in a really stupid way. Mm. And
it was a little over familiar, would you?
Yeah, but
I think Klopp covets that a little.
Sometimes
bit.
He does, totally. Yeah,
but the way he said it was almost a bit like sarcastically, and I think that's what.
Well, that's how he took it. Definitely.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that's how it was meant, but that's definitely how he took it.
Look, live TV is very, very hard. I've never been able to do it, and I'm never going to be able to do it. So I totally respect Marcus Butlin for the way he goes about doing this job. It's not easy. I get that, and it's pressure's on and all the rest of it. I just thought, if he's been honest with himself, I think he probably wouldn't have phrased it like that, given the chance again, regardless of the response from Klopp. Because I think it was a sarcastic way of doing it, and he should have known that Klopp was very prickly about it.
What's German for, I think you are taking the piss?
Schadenfreude.
what's German for, nah, I'm a fucking football manager.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not take the piss here.
Yeah. Roy had a little one, didn't he?
Yeah.
But it was the Palace fans.
Pete and Andy were talking about it
on Ramble React.
He was saying that Crystal Palace fans never had it so good.
It's a bit Redknapp, isn't it?
I mean, that is the sort of thing that if you're a Palace fan makes you think, right.
We didn't necessarily want you all that much, and this is what we're getting, right? Okay.
It's provoked a lot of conversation on Palace Twitter over the last couple of days, let's say.
So when did Palace have it better, Andy?
Cup final.
Yeah. It is.
So pardew.
I was thinking about the cup final before.
There's
that.
The bear trap.
But Marcus, it's not.
No, like, I understand.
Fine. Okay.
It's fine for us to sit here and go, oh yeah, but well, they stay up comfortably every season. We're not paying hundreds and hundreds of pounds to watch them play largely shit football for a number of years.
It's also like Trippier's coming out after the game last night and saying, well, tell me a better right back you've had. Yeah. Sounds ridiculous.
It's never a mentor.
Yeah.
Before we go to a break, everybody, big news. Big news. Enormous news. The Ramble mailbag is going weekly.
Oh.
Weekly, I tells you.
Yeah. How is the fibres separating the cloth with the yarn that ties the mailbag together? How is it going to?
It's an AI thing.
It's an AI thing.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Fine. Yeah,
right. Like our listeners.
Look, the mailbag. You've loved it. We've loved it. So we're bringing you a brand new Ramble Mailbag show every single Saturday, and join us tomorrow because it promises to be a bloody brilliant episode.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Aston Villa, your old side, be hoping for big things this evening.
Yeah, I think like we said earlier, they've won.
Oh, and there's a goal.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody.
Is that a Bong Lahore?
Must be.
Yeah.
Must be.
Stinks to high heaven of a Bong Lahore, that.
He was on TalkSport this morning singing the theme tune to Only Fools and Horses, which obviously delighted me.
Well, the intro or the end credits one?
Yeah,
it's an important question. No, it's an important question because the songs are different.
Put a pony in my pocket.
Is it Hooky Street or is it the other one?
Which do you prefer?
Hooky Street, then. I think it was Hooky Street. That's
the coda.
We don't need it. Yeah, we do.
We don't need it. We want it. We don't need it.
Okay.
But I mean, he's just bad, isn't it? It's just bad.
It's just bad. It's just bad radio.
It's bad stuff.
It's bad radio.
Well, Alan Brazil was doing drunken karaoke at 3 p.m. yesterday, so.
Oh, that's why Jamie O'Hara is on this one. going through his favourite Only Fools and Horses episodes.
audience.
Which was him, he mentioned the one with the chandelier, the one where he falls through the bar, and that's it.
Yeah.
Peckham Spring.
Good.
Peckham Spring. Not connoisseur's choice, is it? No. I think it takes a remarkable amount of chutzpah. A remarkable amount of chutzpah to have a thought process that says the nation want to wake up to Jamie O'Hara and Gabriel Bonlaw.
So it was the Romford for Pele and O'Hara.
I love Ray.
But O'Hara's like leading, he's the main presenter. That is bizarre.
I know. Should be Donaldson. Keep it Donaldson to the end of the season.
No, Donaldson set fire to his radio career with what he did on air Absolute Radio.
We'll be talking about fairies next.
To be fair to Pete, he didn't know there's a webcam.
I want to broadcast like that. I should be allowed to.
You should.
As long as you don't get it on the walls.
Wolverhampton Wanderers versus Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 3 p.m. Steve Cooper reportedly has got one more game to save his job as Nottingham Forest manager.
How did it feel to you? You were
at the Fulham game.
You were at the Fulham game. It felt like, from what I heard from a lot of Forest fans, that he was being almost serenaded off. Is that fair?
Before Marcus answers the question, allow me to bring a bit of context in. I think I'm right in saying I believe that Marcus watched Fulham 5, Nottingham Forest 0 with Roberto Martinez and cricketer Stuart Broad.
You truly are the Jimmy Tarbuck of the 21st
century. I know, exactly. He's absolutely shameless.
If I can just quote Tony Pulis. I was in the actual cottage.
Yeah.
Where dreams are made. Yeah. It was absolutely made. So Andy, you're talking about Steve Cooper and all. I just want to talk about what happened to me that evening.
Just want to talk about his canapes.
It was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I had a nice chat with Stuart Broad. He's a Steve Cooper stay man, incidentally.
Right. Good insight.
Yeah. Lovely chap. I had a quick chat with Roberto Martinez in the bogs. Congratulated him on what he's doing with Portugal.
Are you just following people around?
I said, if you want to be future England
manager. Are you shaky hand man from Banzai?
I'm not in the toilets, hopefully.
Yeah. I said, once Sir Gareth is done with the job, if you want to be England manager in the future, I would be willing to entertain that.
Nice.
He said, stop looking at my willy.
So who are you?
I said, we're out on the balcony now, Roberto.
Everyone's looking at it.
You're not a details man, are you?
Yeah.
Your willy's out.
Yeah, we know you like attacking, but put it away.
I know it's a cold night, but come on. what was your question, Andy?
Great insight, that. Isn't
it? Did I enjoy?
Roberto Martinez got a lovely penis.
Yeah. Raul Jimenez scored two goals. Tom Kearney got the fifth. Christmas came early.
So what's happened here is, is ever since you've said that you're worried about Fulham being able to score goals from open play, they've started to absolutely rifle them home every single week.
They've listened.
Yeah. But I also think, I mean, Forest were bad against Fulham, yes?
Fulham were brilliant, though.
But did you think Forest were bad?
They weren't the worst team. That's definitely still Sheffield United. But Forest weren't that good. I mean, the funny thing is, in the early stages of the game, they did have a bit of something. But as I say, Fulham just free scoring. And I think as the game went on, Forest were worn down. So I don't think it's... I didn't look at that and think, you know, Forest are in big trouble. I understand performances at the start of the season. You think about... the away games at Arsenal and Manchester United, you know, we made a lot of those at the time. You know, a good away win at Chelsea, which wasn't that long ago, I suppose. There was a bit of something. I know they've got a couple of injuries as well and so on. But I don't think Forest will go down. But, you know, I think we're this far into the season and there's been a bit of a slide and people start getting nervous. Mm. Or angry, as the owner did, because he chucked his badge in the hedge, didn't he?
Yeah. But they've only won one Premier League game since the start of September.
Yeah, and so... I
think for a number of weeks, they've looked like, where is the next win coming from?
Yes.
That's the issue, really.
That is the issue, because, again, at the start of the season, it was kind of like, okay, we haven't won a couple of these games, but you're not really expected to, and there was something, there was performance in there, there was goals, there was a sort of an identity, if you like, with the team. You know, yeah. Gibbs-White was, you know, looking great in the centre of the pitch and so on. That doesn't seem to be there now. And it's a case of, okay, is this a bit of a rut that they come out? Because, again, we're not expecting the aforementioned Spurs to suddenly drop off and not be challenging for European places. You know, teams can go in a bit of a rut, but it's a tricky one. Is this a rut or is this a proper rot that's set in and you have to change the manager?
Well, I think...
I honestly don't know.
I think the thing is Christmas period as well.
Yeah, and I think that my thoughts were, with regards to the fans, is actually when they were down, they were still supporting the manager. I don't think it was serenading him off as in, we bloody love you, see you later. That could have changed by 5-0 and knowing the owner as they do and so
on.
Yeah,
I think that's it, more than knowing the owner. Because Marinakis has never been completely sold on him.
No, and...
So that's the thing. I think it's not Forest fans saying, thanks for everything you've done, it's time to go. I think it's Forest fans and the
knowing
impression
what
I get from Forest fans. Exactly, knowing which way the wind's blowing and saying, look, we still love you, man.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I think that's probably fair. And do you know what? It's very rare in football you get that. Very rare. Yeah. And it shows you what type of man and what type of manager Steve Cooper's done and what he's done
and
for
what
them.
They've lacked for a quarter of a century.
Yeah, and fair play to the fans for doing that.
Yeah.
Because they could be like, oh, bloody hell, you know, look, we're in the Premier League now and you forget all that. But I actually thought that was really nice of the fans to do that. And I think he was really touched. And his post-match comments were very, very interesting. But it did seem like a chap who is down on his luck a bit and is saying, look, when he says, I'll do what's best for the football club, he's basically saying, if I get sacked, I understand it.
But he'll walk into another job.
And of course he will, but that's... Yeah.
That's not necessarily the point. Yeah. What's going to happen, though? I'll tell you right now what's going to happen. Wolves are going to lose this game in the last minute for a dodgy penalty and Gary O'Neill's going to steal the headlines again and Steve's going to get away with it fine.
I think Cooper looked at the fixtures when he spoke to the owner and was just like, great. You managed to sweet-talk him, just one more game.
Yeah.
I've secured that, as long as we're not losing.
But I do think there's a couple of things that I'd add, just that not only has Marinakis perhaps never been sold on Cooper... Marinakis probably never really been sold on anyone.
Well, I was about to say.
He's a trigger-happy owner.
Yeah.
And he's got a very, very, you know, careful what I say, but he's got a very, very interesting past. Clearly is, like I say, I can't really say any more than this fact that he's an interesting character. And
he doesn't respect lanyards.
He doesn't respect lanyards at all. He could have hit Roy Hodgson with that, chucking it in a hedge carelessly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But
Roy Hodgson did do a lap of honour at Craven Cottage after the game.
So Palace never had it so good.
Swooping around.
The other thing is that, you know, regardless of that point, though, they have brought players in. Yeah. I mean, it's not though they haven't...
Well, they have signed a lot.
They've signed a lot of players that presumably Cooper's had say in.
Yeah.
And you look around that team, I know that, so Gibbs-White didn't start, I don't think, against Fulham.
No, he didn't. Though.
But they've got interesting players going forward. I mean, Callum Hudson-Odoi plays for him. He was linked by Bayern Munich for £30 million not that long ago.
Yeah, he's taken a big left turn since then, hasn't he?
Big time, but he's clearly got a huge amount of ability.
There's a player in there.
Felipe's a good player. Ola Aina's played at a good level. You know, he's clearly a good Premier League player. Anthony Elanga's played at United. You know, Origi's played in the Champions League latter stages. You know, these are players who have got history and have got ability. Chris Wood, I mean, Chris Wood's 32 now. Fine, he's not scored a lot. He didn't do very well at Newcastle, but he was a double figures Premier League goal scorer.
I mean,
at Burnley.
They're
you know, these are players who've done stuff.
They're gambles, but I mean, that's what you have to do. I mean, look at Fulham. You know, signing Willian, you know, a player like Andres Pereira. You know, there's one or two others in there.
He was great against Forest, by the way. Ran the show, didn't he?
Yeah, he was, Raul Jimenez, another one who that seems to be coming to fruition, hopefully for Fulham's sake. But you've got to gamble sometimes on players. You think, well, there is ability. He hasn't quite done it, or he's taken a left turn, as you say, Andy, and so on. It's not quite happening. I mean, Alanga's been pretty good for them so far this season. I think it would be a shame if Cooper was sacked, if I'm honest.
It would, and particularly in the context of Awoniyi getting injured. I mean, you know, unless you're like a top six side, something like that is going to absolutely kipper you.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So they will be facing Wolves away. I mean, Wolves, they're up in 13th on 18 points, and I think Wolves, they're surely looking up, aren't they? I mean, they're not looking down. And I think for Wolves, they start putting runs together. I don't think it is utterly ridiculous to say that they could push for a top half finish, maybe like 10th or something.
Yeah. I think one of the most underrated players in the league this season is Hee Chan. No one talks about him. He seems to score every single week. He looks really sharp whenever he plays. And the reason I think that's particularly interesting when it comes to Wolves is because the criticism of Wolves has been they just don't score goals.
Yeah,
look at them now. They're roughly scoring the amount of goals commensurate with their position in the table, which is a big change.
Yeah, we spoke about this on Wednesday, and really that this is with Wolves. It's the difference between becoming going from an average to struggling side to comfy mid-table. That is the difference. Being able to put it in.
I also think Gary O'Neill. Yeah, deserves credit. I mean, Wolves are a really big club. You know, they've got a huge storied history. The expectation there is high.
The circumstances he took over in as well.
The circumstances were difficult. He was quite harshly treated in his last job, which itself was a baptism of fire. It doesn't really feel like he's had a position where he's been able just to settle himself in and go, right, now this is how I want to do things. Yeah. The clubs have always been big. And so for him to swim rather than sink in that environment, I think is impressive.
Do you feel a bit sad they're doing it without dirty Diego Costa?
There may be a link between why their fortunes have increased.
I was about to say, Andy, because...
Aren't they mobile at the moment?
That's why they're not scoring goals, because they haven't got the big man in there. By the way, speaking of him, did you see... He's now playing for Botafogo, of course, in Brazil.
Yeah, I'm absolutely terrified that he's going to join Leon in the transfer window.
We're just nailing the coffin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. recently, when he was playing for them, he was seen holding the referee to avoid getting a yellow card.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's just super. You're not going to come on. Yeah. Look at me in the eye and book me.
Much more physically strong than the referee as well. It's quite unsettling to watch.
Yeah.
The referee should have sent him off, really, for that.
Of course.
He dropped his yellow card, didn't he? So, I mean, maybe he was helping him look for it.
Right, by stopping him picking it up.
Well, I think you sort of put
that straight back in your pocket. You won't be there.
It's like when you sort of drop like a contact lens or something quite fragile. You don't want anyone to stand on it.
Yeah.
So you sort of hold it. Hey, steady. Don't stand on my contact lens.
It's kind of like when you, quote unquote, help the barman, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Just get round behind there.
Seems
quite busy.
By the way, while we're in Brazil, have you seen that... Santos were relegated for the first time in their history.
I haven't seen that.
I can smell it.
111-year history, first time relegated.
Fans took it okay, though.
Oh my God. Did they not like burn down the stadium or something?
No, they set fire to a load of cars outside. Let's not exaggerate. Come on.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I've done them a disservice there.
Yeah.
Palace former side.
Yeah.
Is that the first?
Neymar's former side. Mm.
That would have, so yeah. I guess, well, he died last year, so it's the first season that... maybe it's related, that's all I'm saying.
We should clarify Pele.
Yeah, not Neymar.
Sorry, not Neymar. His career is dead.
I think people would know that.
PSG has died because of Neymar.
Yes. Yeah.
The thing is, if you were an out-of-contract player at the moment, I was thinking about this because, you know, Tony Cascarino had that incredible couple of seasons at Marseille after they got relegated from the top flight after the whole Glassman scandal, the match-fixing thing. And Cascarino, a player who, with all due respect to him, was a good player, never would have played for Marseille normally, went over there, had an amazing time, became an absolute
superstar.
He's
a legend there now.
Yeah, he was welcome back there recently.
They had him
to a game there recently with a shirt with his name printed on the back, and there was him stood next to a couple of far more storied players. Yeah. And
he's next to Papin, you know, like Deschamps. You know,
exactly. I was better than you on Football Manager that year. I think if you were someone who was kind of drifting at Premier League or Championship club, would you be looking at that thinking,
oh yeah,
second tier at Santos, that could be a bit of me next season?
Because the amount of... like atmosphere at the stadium, the amount of kind of passion. Aren't they one of the most supported clubs in the world? They claim to have the most members.
Santos. They claim to have one of the most amount of members. I think they're a club with the most amount of members.
Yes.
Of outside of like Barcelona, Real Madrid or something. Mm. They're huge. So, I mean, it would be an incredible experience. It'd be much better than going to fucking Saudi.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be incredible.
Mm. Yeah, no, you're right.
I'd be all over that.
Be even better for the 4 months where you actually got paid.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, even
you can go on loan to Pompey though.
If you don't get paid, you can
I was about to say, if you are a budding footballer and you're thinking of going there, don't park outside the stadium.
No, definitely not.
You know, get the bus.
Get the bus.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, Aston Villa versus Arsenal on Saturday at 5:30.
What a treat.
The Emi Martinez derby. And before we go any further, I need to apologise to Emi Martinez because...
Right.
Well, because of him fucking the trophy?
No.
The World Cup trophy.
When we spoke about the FIFA awards, we were saying, I felt it should have been Haaland instead of Messi. But okay, I understand Messi got it with World Cup heroics and so on. And then we spoke about Emi Martinez winning Best Goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And I was a bit disparaging. I was like, come on, and so on. Whereas actually, looking back on it, I actually quite like he got Best Goalkeeper because it's not necessarily he is the goalkeeper with the most ability in the world. He is the goalkeeper who has been very important in that in that year for club and country.
Yeah.
And then since then, you know, just look at some of the saves he's been making, even in his last couple of games.
He's been brilliant.
He's been absolutely superb. And so I...
have written a poem?
I've written a... This is an ode to Emi Martinez.
Oh.
Emi Martinez, a true character of the game.
Who'll give him the buttons?
And surely future inductee of the Argentina Hall of Fame. In shootouts, you eat penalty takers for dinner, and now you're immortalised as a World Cup winner. When the FIFA awards were given, I was foolish, I was harsh, which is some cheat considering you play your football at Villa Park and I at Hackney Marsh. Around the world, you now have a lot of love because you're a top goalkeeper. And you hump the golden glove.
Yes, nice.
Beautifully timed
in
as well.
In the week that Benjamin Zephaniah died.
Yeah.
A huge tribute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well done, mate.
Well done,
you're clapping yourself there, are you?
I'm clapping Emi Martinez.
Fair enough.
You know, as we all should.
Very unexpected.
Mum's got a writer.
Yeah.
I wrote that when my 7-month-old was asleep on me.
There we go. Oh, it's very nice.
Very nice.
Will the love never end? You're the only person on this show, with the exception of possibly Pete, who can get away with doing that kind of stuff.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, Pete's would have been full of expletives and quite rude.
I'm just thinking about it would mainly be about the club fucking.
Yeah.
Well, I got it in there, you know.
Yeah. You squeezed it at the end.
Bit of blue for Petey.
Yeah.
If Villa win
would
this...
you pop it down each of the finger holes? Sorry, carry on. In turn, 1, 2, would you go thumb, forefinger, and then go
I
down?
I think I'd save for thumb for last. Treat myself.
Yeah. It's cavernous. You've got little and you last.
Yeah.
You've got a little last for the final pump.
For the final pump.
The final pump.
Yeah.
Then hand it over to some fan. Sign it. Sign it and hand it over to some fan.
And the big wigs in Qatar watching on horror. Oh dear. Yeah. Get that man out of this country.
Yeah. One thing that's really interesting about this game is that, you know, Arsenal obviously top of the league and it's a Saturday tea time treat, of course, but Aston Villa, have they won 10 home Premier League games in a row now?
They've been magnificent.
They have been absolutely fucking brilliant.
It is different gravy granules.
This would be 15.
Nobody could have predicted this. You could have said...
I did. At the start of the season.
You said what? After 15 games, Villa would be third, 4 points off the top.
I said they'd be in the top four.
When?
I said they'd get top
when?
Four. We'll see in the predictions, won't we?
Cool guys.
So your prediction.
Cool guys chatting.
So you.
Sorry, Pete, do you want to fucking have a fucking piece of clothing? You talk about that. Have you jizzed in your pants?
I'm just.
Yes, I have.
You know what? That would probably be politer than revealing your pre season predictions.
I know,
in
good
December.
Point, actually.
That is bullshit.
Because to be honest,
called out for that.
Because to be honest, I've had a stinker.
No, I was just trying to make sure.
Sorry, Marcus.
Yeah.
The nice guy over there, the fucking clever one over there, told me last night some of his predictions. So don't fucking say it. You can't say it because you said it yesterday.
Sure,
yeah, but that is a bit different, though.
Very different.
It's way different.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, if you said something on air and you went, well, he said it to me at dinner last night. It's like, yeah, but it's not a broadcast.
No, I just think I'm trying to listen to the only one I know. Shut up, Andy. Let Tim Burgess do his thing. He's talking now.
Yeah, I look.
Damn well, I was in the toilet for the only one I know.
You were actually,
I just wanted to get to the fact that. That it's not only Emery who clearly takes credit for Villa's success, it's also you.
Thank you very much, everyone.
You, in your prediction, you've played your part. But they have been magnificent. There's no two ways about that. This season, I mean, even last season, but this season, now people talk about, you've got to go to Villa Park. Mm. It's a fortress.
Yeah.
It is officially a fortress, Andy Brassel, I put it to you.
Yeah, and they've got so many attacking options, which is what makes this game so exciting as well. I mean, I would, as well as the fact that they overwhelmed Manchester City in that game on Wednesday night, I think you would have to go a long way to find a 1-0 win that was as exciting as that.
Definitely. Mm. And Andy,
it's brilliant.
What I wanted to ask you when I knew we were going to be talking about Villa and Emery is that it'd be interesting to get a sense check from you, who covers a lot of European football, about whether you think that Emery's ability and reputation has been like heavily underrated in this country just because of the Arsenal experience, and whether it's actually less of a surprise if you actually know a bit about, say, Spanish football or European football.
I still think it's a little bit of a surprise because not that they're succeeding, but they're succeeding to this level and that they're attacking with this kind of verve. Because I think most people who know Unai Emery quite well think he's a very good coach and think he was a bit harshly treated because of his experiences at Arsenal and PSG. And mainly the suggestion there would be that maybe he can't quite deal with elite players. Like Neymar, for example, wouldn't talk to him. Maybe that says more about Neymar than it says about Unai Emery.
It definitely does. Next point.
But anyway, I think the sense about Unai Emery is he's always a little bit overcautious, thinks about the opposition a little bit too much, and doesn't necessarily have the bravery to go and win games. But his team do. This team do, which is quite a departure for Emery.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, what did he have? A fifth place finish with Arsenal? Was that in his first season? They kind of tailed off at the end.
I'm not really talking about the numbers, though. I mean, he got a couple of third places with Valencia. I'm talking about the manner in which the team play. Because this Villa team are not just successful, they're absolutely box office.
Look, sometimes a player goes to a team and doesn't quite work out and then becomes a world beater elsewhere. You know, sometimes we don't give managers.
And it's also the circumstances kind of Arsenal, you know, because, you know, you come in
post Wenger and
all that. The talk of who it's going to be for years, and he's going into a situation where it's no different really to the people who've struggled after Ferguson at United.
Exactly.
It's the same principle.
Yeah.
And he, I actually thought it was a really brave move for him to take that job.
Mm-hmm. It felt like the right moment for him, though, because, of course, he could have had the Newcastle job before. He thought about it and then decided against it.
Yeah, and I think with Villa, you know, we know they've got a decent squad. You can't do what he's doing without a decent squad. But it shows you just how crucial the manager can be, because whenever we talk about Villa, we immediately talk about the manager. Mm. The tune he's getting out of these players is quite something. As I say, they have a good team.
Well, talking of the cottage, the graveyard for Premier League managers, it always makes me think of when we were there. Stephen Gerrard got his send-off. And what a low point they were at then.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. And it wasn't that long ago, of course.
No.
But the way they played that game against Manchester City, it shows the maturity. They weren't hanging on. They were, you know, Man City didn't have many chances, if any at all.
And sometimes, you know, you look at teams who can nick a win against Man City. Or a team, you know, Man City are in a bit of a weird phase at the moment, it seems, as we sit here talking about them now. But it wasn't that. It was like, this is a team with a plan. They're executing that plan. And that plan is better than Man City are on the night. And that's a different thing than just, you know, camping out in your own half and hoping you get what you get. In many ways, like, the identity they've got is so strong that it makes you confident they're going to be able to sustain this, even though they've got, you know, potentially some quite tricky European fixtures. If they finish fourth this season, it'll be their best finish since 1996.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that's going back a long old way, you know.
When was the last time they won the title? Come on,
before that.
Yeah, it was.
But of course, this part of the reason, part of the context of this conversation is the team has won European trophies and they're a huge club.
They last won the league in 1981.
Yeah.
I've just checked. And, you know, that's what you're dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just...
Do you know what I mean?
So, and the reason I think that's interesting as well is because that is part of the story of why Aston Villa have been, you know, languishing in the second tier for a club of their size, because the expectation is high, and because people demand more, and because, you know, it's not that long ago that they've had success, and they've not ridden the crest of that Premier League wave the way that some other clubs who were perhaps a bit smaller than them have done, for whatever reason. So for Emery to come and restore that, it's a bit early to say that at the moment because they haven't actually achieved anything yet, really. But if they do, you know, the season they could have, realistically, I'm not saying it will happen, but it is not unrealistic to say that Aston Villa could finish in the top four of the Premier League this season and win a European trophy.
Yeah.
And you'd be laughed out of town by saying that
3 years ago.
And they've managed that European football and Premier League so well. People might say, oh, it's the Conference League and it's a poor standard, but you've still got to do the travel, you've still got to do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They've been superb. And the way they're going is that Jack Grealish might want to go back there soon.
He might be lucky to get back there soon.
Step up.
Yeah, he might be lucky to get back there at this rate. All right, now it's time for the Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out in 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today and every Friday, we're building an Acca of our four match odds 90 bets from across the Premier League. Now, Marcus, you successfully completed a hat-trick of incorrect picks last week. I've tried to phrase that as positively as I can.
And that cost us. We had three out of four.
We had three out of four.
Just needed a Palace winner, and they and Hodgson let us all down.
But the Palace have never had it so good, so that's a consolation.
True.
Yeah. Who have you gone for this week?
Fulham to beat West Ham.
Okay. Fair enough. Peter,
you have
the joint worst record in this show, 5 out of 10, but you have got your last two correct.
Okay. I actually chose this before Newcastle Everton last night, but I'm going to go for Spurs versus Newcastle, a draw. And I was going to say a high scoring draw, but I'm less confident, but I'm still going to go for it because I have the courage of yesterday's convictions.
I think it might
like
be
a true party animal.
I think it might be 0-0 because
neither team's got any players.
Andy,
Liverpool to win at Crystal Palace.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm liking Liverpool at the moment. I feel they've got quite a way to get better as well.
And they're better than Crystal Palace, for sure.
There is that.
Palace are in a state at the moment. And, of course, if we don't predict a Liverpool win, Jurgen Klopp might get very angry.
And I said earlier that Pete's got the joint worst record in this group of presenters here. You're the other person, 5 out of 10. So Liverpool to beat Palace, hopefully that'll see you back on the horse. Now, just to show that I'm not full of bluster, you don't just get bluster and chat and empty rhetoric. You do get that. But you also get a man with the courage of his convictions. I've gone for Aston Villa to beat Arsenal. And my record isn't massively better than Andy or Pete's. I've got 6 out of 10, so just one better than them.
See, I think these records aren't actually that
they're
bad.
They're not that bad. So Fulham, in summary, Fulham to win, Spurs and Newcastle to draw, Liverpool to win, and Aston Villa to continue their imperious home form and beat Arsenal. I actually have a really good feeling about this week for us guys. I think there's a really good set of selections there, and a £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £295.53. If we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. And just to remind you, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair are donating £10 to Prostate Cancer UK, and we've already raised £370 this season alone from that, so that's great. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet is paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for our Acca 2 every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, can I go back to Villa, please? It's a simple game of categories. You go to slow, you're going to be hearing Gary Neil's orgasm, which will leave you 7 seconds. Vish, he's won his second successive title last week, but I don't really count the week before because that was the debacle that I administered. Right, we're going to kick things off.
A clean game today, then.
Think there's grown-ups in the room here, I think, even if we were a bit tired after the Charlatans last night. Right.
Charlatans album tracks.
Well, neither of you would win because you were arguing about before, Ollie, is about what tracks were where
Andy
and all that
win.
Business.
Andy would win.
Hurry up, pulp boy, hurry up.
Andy, we're going to kick things off.
Andy's going first.
He is, yeah. What's wrong with that?
It's a massive advantage. That's what's wrong with that.
I don't think it is.
Well, I don't think it's proved to be in the past.
No. Completely agree with you, Andy. That's a point for you. Players who have played every minute in the Premier League so far this season. There are 14 players. Andy first. Players who have played every minute in the Premier League so far this season.
Emi Martinez.
Fucker.
That was what I was going for.
You dirty bastard. Great.
Great advantage.
Glad he went first because I would have said him otherwise.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Bernd Leno.
He has.
Come on.
He has.
Because I respect our listeners and I want to give them some entertainment, I'm going for an outfield player.
Yeah, fair.
Lewis Dunk.
Oh, fuck.
Got sent off, didn't he? Oh, of course he did. Oh, for fuck's sake. He normally always plays every minute.
It's 1-0 to spell.
Marcus, well done, mate.
Get that category out of the way. That's crap.
Get the Charlatans album track going on.
There's a lot of players that you don't want to play every minute of the Premier League, and Andre Onana being one of them. Bruno Fernandes, Ethan Pinnock, Zabani. We got Trafford in there. We got Anderson. We got Maximilian Kilman. We got Robert Sanchez. We got Sam Johnson. We got Thiago Silva, Kaminski, Fodringham and Saliba.
Tell you what, Thiago Silva.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's nearly 40.
It is vintage. All right, number two.
To be fair, Chelsea are languishing.
Marcus for the win, I suppose. Players that have scored over 25 Premier League goals for Aston Villa.
Oh, nice one.
Players that have scored over 25 Premier League.
Fuck me.
What did he
60
say?
60 goals. No,
if you
want
this now, that's on you.
No, I just didn't hear.
He said Dwight York.
Okay.
I'll go Ollie Watkins.
You're going to go for Ollie Watkins. You're going to get Ollie Watkins, 48.
The big man, Gabby Agbon-Lahore.
Gabby Agbon-Lahore, 73.
Julian Joachim.
Leading the field.
Oh, good to hear him.
Correct, Marcus, 39.
Excellent.
Well, thank you.
That is the moment of the game for me.
Beautiful.
I'll give you a little clue.
Oh,
who's that?
Emil Heskey.
No, I was going to say DJ Greelo there.
Emil Heskey.
Emil Heskey, we will go with a no.
I'm surprised.
Although, surprised
am
I?
That was the coda of his career, really, wasn't it?
I am repellent.
Repellent.
I cannot get anything right at this game.
Well, yeah. Maybe you could predict that you're going to not do very well and then you get that right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you're giving Andy a lot of time here.
Sorry, Andy.
Oh, well, I can quickly go for the late, great Dalian Atkinson.
Oh.
No way.
No, didn't get it. Didn't get it.
Speller wins.
Very easy.
A mercifully short game.
Yeah, good.
But I got it with the moment of the game.
You did.
It's been a very Aston Villa themed game show for you today.
Could we have had Christian Benteke? Was he there long enough for that?
You could have had Christian Benteke, 42 goals, quite a lot of them. Emil Heskey only scored 9 goals in the Premier League for
obviously, he's never scored.
Villa, Ashley Young, he had 30. Uh-huh. 30?
Yeah.
That was great. I guess he played a bit further forward. Darius Vassell, 35.
Vassell.
The pride of Turkey. Dean Saunders, Dion Dublin, Gareth Barry, Ian Taylor, John Carew, Juan Pablo Angel, Hendry, and Savo Milosevic.
I had Milosevic.
Did you?
Yeah. I thought
he
didn't need it.
You had some to spare.
Lovely to hear his name, though.
Yeah.
He bonked his head on a thing, didn't he? He bonked his head on a roof or something.
Did he?
And that's why he wore a headscarf.
I remember
like
that.
Hulk Hogan.
Fabulous goal he scored. I think it was in the League Cup final against Leeds United.
Bit of a tour for me, Marcus. It felt like a bit of a tour.
Yeah, and that Ronaldinho one. Was a tour at Stamford Bridge. Sometimes they
he
go
did
in.
Other stuff. He did other
that
stuff.
That one at Stamford Bridge was ridiculous.
Yeah, there we are.
I won't remember watching that in real time, thinking, fucking how's he done that?
What a player, Milosevic, eh?
Yeah.
There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join us tomorrow for that mailbag, everybody. Follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. The keys are in the lock, Andy Brassel. The door
Hooray!
Is open. And the Charlatans are playing, of course. How fitting.
No, Pitbull's covering a Charlatan song.
Oh, we know you're talking.
He's got residency.
Like one to another. Yeah. How high? I'll show you how high, baby. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye. Enjoy the weekend, everyone.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.